Hello, it is Flight Risk Podcast Studios, and I'm your host, Robert Bruton. So our shows are always your chance to escape. And what we're kind of all about is making a difference in your life and just really working on real world stuff, you know, things I write about are things that I've gone through, things that I use, in order to have a more enjoyable life. You know, some years back, I decided I wanted to do what I wanted to do, not what I had to do. And there's a huge difference. So I hope that you'll subscribe to our podcast, and I appreciate it, all that do. And thank you so much. Thank you to our financial supporters. If you can leave us subscribe to our channel or leave us a donation, thank you so much. And so I just dropped another new book, and I've been pretty prolific in my writing of late, and this one really hits home with me because it's something that you see really on a daily basis. As you see people lose their shit about all kinds of stuff. And so that really doesn't lend itself to get swinging me over to see your point of view. Fuck you is not a, you know, racist, fascist, you know, all these things that people say or call people. And I'm not saying that people are calling me that. I'm just saying that, excuse me, that seems to be the call of the day, is you see all these people who don't know how to really articulate their viewpoint, and they're, you know, something else I've written about is, you know, people are following the herd, not really knowing, they can't really answer the question of why they're there. They just, my friends all say that XYZ is bad, you know, and instead of really using their critical thinking to look at it. I'm not saying you can't believe the way you want to believe. Absolutely, you can. However, if you're following something that really doesn't make much sense to you, or that you can't even tell me or give me a good reason why you follow this doctrine, instead of, you know, losing your shit that just shows that you don't have a clue about why you're there or what the hell you're talking about. You just think this way because everybody in your school told you to think this way, or everybody in your, you know, group of friends told you to think that way. And it boils down to, and I said this in a previous show, you know, it boils down to just like what your grandmother or your mother would say if you did something stupid with your friends. Well, would you just follow your, you know, I was with my friends, Mom. And, you know, well, would, if your friends jumped off the roof of the house, would you do it too? You know, and because you do have a choice. And you need to make the choice that's good for you, not that's good for the group of people you're around. Okay, your friends don't, you know, the friends that, if you're a young person, the friends that you have in your life today probably won't be around to the end of your life. So make choices that are for you. Make choices that make sense to you. So today I'm going to, again, I want to talk about a book that I just published called Mastering Your Emotions, or actually it's in the process of publishing. It's the ultimate guide to regulating your feelings and becoming the most powerful person in any room. So here's the skinny. You can either be the most powerful person in the room, or you can be what seemingly is the dumbest person in the room, because you're screaming and yelling instead of coming up with, you know, it's better to wow someone to go, damn, I didn't really think of it that way. Huh. I may have to rethink my thought process. I may need to rethink. Let me rethink this a little bit and decide what is the best way to go. And so it's important to learn, and I've written about this a little bit, but I really got more into it, is learning how to govern your passion, okay? And what I mean by that is learning how to not lose your shit, okay, in the heat of the battle. Because once you do that, you lose all credibility, and it just goes out the window. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on is irrelevant. What's relevant is if you lose your shit, then you've lost everything. You lose the battle. So we're going to talk about the emotional regulation and your ability to manage and respond to emotions in a healthy and adaptive manner. And learn how to control and govern your passion. I'm not saying don't be passionate. What I'm saying is, you know, most of it that you see out on like social media and things right now and people talking about, it mostly just spins out into screaming and yelling and emotional breakdowns and outbursts that don't solve shit. So if you want to have something change, don't lose your shit where you look like an emotional wreck. And stand up for what you believe in, but stand up for it in a way where people can do nothing but respect what you say. They say, well, you know, I completely disagree with them, but you know, this person does make a damn good point. You'd be rather than known for that than, you know, this wacky kook that can't even keep themselves without having some emotional, you know, diarrhea session. It's just nuts. So, you know, so some strategies, I wrote out some strategies in the book for regulating your emotions. And one is, you know, you need to identify your triggers. And I hate that word. I really do, because, you know, I was just triggered. I was just triggered. Well, you know, figure out why then that you get triggered. I don't like that word because, you know, we just never really used it. And, you know, it just really became a buzzword in the last couple of years, you know. So, and it's ridiculous. You don't have to step on that landmine unless you want to. So don't. You know, I don't care if you're pro this or con that. Doesn't matter. What the thing is learn what will set you to make yourself look less than what you should. Because if you're making an intelligent argument, I'm going to listen to you. Anybody would. If you're making an intelligent argument, people will listen to your side of the coin. People will listen to your side and say, you know, and it, if nothing else, maybe they walk away, they agreed. But if you made a compelling statement and people were like, wow, I didn't, you know, even if they tell you they didn't, they're thinking about it. I promise you they're thinking about it. Anybody would. So find out what makes for a strong emotional response from you, you know, and take time to figure out why. Why does this trigger you so much? What do you, you know, because so many, and here's the thing, and I'm guilty of this myself, is you, sometimes you snap, not because you're snapping at the person, place, or thing. You're snapping because there's something else going on in your lives. You have some other stressor that just sets you off, and there you go. So, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, in what, when I get in heated debates with people and they start, you know, losing their shit or something, then, you know, it's like, well, what are you mad at? You can't be so mad at this issue that it brings you to this point. So what are you mad at? So what I'm suggesting to you is do your own self-reflection. Figure out what it is that you're mad at. You know, A lot of times I may have my dogs outside and I say, damn it, get back in here, you know? And I love them to death. I spoil them rotten, you know? And I catch myself, you know, and they usually get a better treat or something like that. But sometimes I catch myself where, you know, in a situation where I, you know, or I was, you know, cold to somebody or just didn't, you know, answer the way I normally would. And usually there's an underlying reason for that. So when you learn to stop yourself and you learn to, you know, pinch your leg and say, what the hell am I so, you know, what the hell am I so, why am I feeling like this? What's overwhelming me? What in my life is doing that? And I tell you, that will help you in so many ways. And, you know, practicing mindfulness. Mindfulness is being present and fully engaged in the current moment. By focusing your thoughts and feelings and physical sensations without judgment, you can better understand your emotions and respond to them more effectively. Incorporate mindfulness techniques such as deep breathing, meditation, or body scans into your daily routine to cultivate a sense of inner calm and clarity. So if you're a regular listener, you know that I talk in pretty much every podcast about the power of meditation. And we also talk about just breathing. You know, we've talked about box breathing. We've talked about just taking a couple cleansing breaths, you know, big into the nose and big out to the mouth. Okay. In through the nose, out through the mouth, and big, deep cleansing breaths. And you'll find that slows things down in your body and it gets you to a point where you're not acting on emotion. Because nothing will get solved. Nothing will happen better if you're emotional. You know, if you went in and you know, it's like if somebody miscooks your meal and you throw the plate towards the waitress and you go, you know, this freaking sucks. You need to take it back in there and tell that no cooking chef to fix my food right now. Well, who wants to answer to that? Instead saying, you know what, my meal is cold. Could you guys take another look at this and try to fix it? If you did it I understand things happen and you know, if you guys will just make this right, I appreciate it. And you probably, at that point, you know, might get your meal comped and certainly probably might get a free drink or some, there, you know, people respond in kind. When you're kind, people respond in kind. When you're shitty, they respond in shitty. You know, take your meal back there, you know, and go, I don't know, you know, and not really fix your meal. You know, so people respond in kind. So, you know, be mindful and chill out and use your mindfulness words, as they say. Use your big boy words, you know, use your adult words. And I'm telling you, when you learn how to do these things and you learn how to, you know, remember to go, you know, you feel yourself getting angry and start breathing, or you feel yourself getting angry and just say, you know what, I need just a second. And you excuse yourself and maybe you get into a real quick meditative state, meaning you're just breathing, maybe you got your eyes closed and you're, you know, visualizing yourself in a much happier place than where you are, you know. And I'm telling you, these type of things, you will get so much more done in your life when you're able to do that and work from a position of calm. And you'll achieve leaps and bounds differences in what you're trying to do, you know. It truly works, you know. Excuse me, I'm fighting my allergies today. You know, and our thoughts impact our emotions. And we've talked about how to reframe your thoughts. You know, a lot of times, you know, you have to, you have to take that technology detox. You got to get away from all the bullshit that's going on in the world, you know, and not just listen to it. You can get caught up, And I think it's really easy to get caught up in watching, people arguing or fighting. I see myself getting caught up in these First Amendment auditors and all that kind of shit on YouTube, or you get, traffic stops or some, other thing, where it becomes confrontational, and it's easy to get in there, and it's also easy to reframe your emotions. You look at enough of these first audit mem these first audit First Amendment audit, sorry, auditors that go into government facilities where they have every right to be, they have every right to record in public spaces, or people out on a sidewalk, or people are out on a public space. And when you're out on a public space, and I know this because I'm a professional photographer, I know this because we have a news channel, I know this because I'm a photojournalist, anything I can see, okay, anything my camera can see from a public space, I can take that picture legally. I can take pictures of crowds, I can take pictures of anything I want, because your perception of privacy in public is not there. Okay? You don't you know if you were if I'm now I there the you do have I can't take, or people can't take your picture through your home window because you're in private property. But, you can't, I can sit there and I can take photos outside of the post office. I can take them outside of a police station. I can take them outside of City Hall, and people lose their shit, especially police officers who sit there and go, "This is a government facility. You can't make a picture here." Well, if I'm standing on publicly paid for real estate that is in a publicly accessible area, yeah, actually I can. And there's really nothing you can do about our Fourth Amendment right. So, but people don't know, and they get in these arguments, and sometimes it gets pretty contentious. And if you watch enough of that during the day, rounding about back to my point is, it can affect your mood. It can affect the way that you are. It can affect how you envision someone else. I don't think that all police officers are tyrants. Far from it. There are some that are out there, and there are some that get filmed, and some that, that they allow their emotions to overtake common sense and overtake someone's, rights to do what they're doing in public. Not hurting anybody. Why are you so afraid of a freaking camera? But it can change your perception about things, where then you start following that herd mentality. So for me, I have to watch, how many police officers took a kid who maybe lost his one of his family members, or maybe it's a single mom who can't afford to buy the kid a bike, and the police and fire department get together and buy the kid a bike for his birthday. Or drive by a kid with cancer's home and fire their sirens and wave and do all those things. But if I watched all this other negative shit enough, then I could, sit there and develop a thought process that they're all assholes, and that's far from it. They're not. Because there's just as many asshole John Q. Publix as there are maybe, tyrant law enforcement folks, and then you also have to realize what, all they see all day is shit. So it's easy to see how people could become, less cordial and all those kind of things. So I think if we have to learn to become mindful, you have to learn to, take your kids to the park instead of, watching some shit, or bringing home your work. Doesn't matter what you do, and it's all of these things have a direct result, an outcome, into our emotional outbursts, whether that emotional outburst is something loving and caring, or whether that emotional outburst is something that's hateful and destructive. So this book couldn't be any more important in your life. So the third thing is refrain your thoughts. Our thoughts are significantly impacted by our emotions. And that's, we've already kind of crossed over that. So, you know, you really have to watch the intake into your head of what you're looking at. And, you know, it would be very easy, and yes, I'm raising my hand, it would be very easy to fall into all the doom and gloom that's going on in the world. Every day we're getting spoon-fed, and the spoon went from being a soup spoon to a flipping ladle of shit. You know? And it's, you know, I don't think that I've ever seen a newscast, especially in mainstream media right now, that actually talks about something good. Somebody made a huge achievement. How many people are doing something or making some breakthrough technology that never sees the light of day because, you know, somebody's feelings got hurt, you know, on a college campus? And while that's not a good thing to happen, it's not mainstream news, you know? We have to learn how to accept the fact that, you know, sometimes people are going to hurt our feelings. Sometimes people are going to piss us off. Sometimes people are going to do hateful shit, mean things. But, you know, that doesn't have to define the person that you are. It doesn't have to define your tomorrow. It doesn't have to define your next 5 minutes. You know? Just say, you know, we're just going to agree to disagree on this one. I'll leave you be, leave me be, and let's move on with our lives. You know, expressing yourself constructively. You know, bottling up your emotions can increase stress, resentment, and even physical health problems. Finding healthy ways to express your feelings is essential, whether through talking to a trusted friend, writing in a journal, or engaging in a creative outlet such as art or music. When communicating with others, I statements to express your emotions without practicing blame or judgment for the other person. For example, instead of saying, "You always make me angry," try saying, "I feel frustrated when this happens." You're not blaming anybody. You're expressing how you feel frustrated when there's an occurrence. So, I've glossed over this a little bit too in the show is, you know, you've got to learn how to express yourself constructively. And I'm telling you, this will make a night and day difference in your life. It will make a night and day difference in the way that people communicate and talk to you. You know, like I said, when you act in kind, people respond in kind. You know, and if it's someone who doesn't respond in kind, then guess what they need to do? Bye. See ya. Hit the trail. I don't have to allow that into my life. You know? And sometimes you have to, especially in like a relationship with just, you know, a one-on-one relationship with someone. Sometimes there's just a moment where you kind of have to say, you know what? In order for us to get cooler heads to prevail, let's take a break from each other for a few minutes. You know, you get a lot of people who won't do that. Now we're going to talk about this right now. No, damn it, I need a couple minutes. Give me a couple minutes. Be that person who can do that. Because, you know, that's a two-way street. And a lot of times when you can go and you can think about something then you realize when you get back, it's hard to even remember half the shit you were arguing about. Then you sit there and feel silly with each other going, you know, I can't believe we let something where we can't hardly even remember what the hell we were fighting about get us to that point. And that's the reason for taking a break. Because there's a much greater chance that you're just going to be okay and go, you know what, we're good. I can hang. I'm fine. So give yourself those gifts. You know, and practice self-care. You know, give yourself, like we've been talking about, you know, prioritize sleep, but also prioritize being outside, prioritize taking a break that we've talked about, you know, healthy eating, regular and social connections. You know, it's good to get out. One of the things I do some days, where I'm at right now, I don't have a whole lot of friends here. In fact, I really don't, honestly don't have any here. With the exception of a couple of people. So I get out and if I have to do some research and go to the library or something like that, and I'll engage with people at the library. You know, people are looking at stuff and, you know, or people are sitting at the same table, go, hey, what are you reading? What are you researching? You know, it's amazing, you know, just giving yourself that moment to meet somebody new, you know, and you know, or just get up a conversation with someone who, you know, that's why I like the library, because there's always really nice people, whether it's young people, older people. You know, you can sit there and go, hey, I'm reading, you know, this book. What are you reading? You know, and get into that conversation. It's and be social, you know, learn to enjoy the community around you, you know. You know, you can handle a lot with a cool head, a lot more than you think. And it's hard sometimes if somebody does something to you, well, how the hell am I supposed to have a good, cool head? You know, this person cheated on me, for example. Well, you have every right to be emotional. You have every right to feel anger. You have every right to do those things. You know, you have every right to mourn that loss. Absolutely. However, how long are you going to hang on to it? You know, it was something that, excuse me. You know, when I lost my sister to breast cancer, you know, about a year ago now, I could have easily, you know, fallen into a really bad place. But I know that for sure, you know, and I did have my emotions. I did have my moments to cry. I did have my moments to kind of, you know, lose my shit, if you will. But I also realized that's not going to make me healthy. It's not, you know, it's not going to be an emotional thing, that it was certainly wouldn't be anything that my sister would have wanted me to do or subscribe to, you know, having some emotional thing. You know, everybody knows that, you know, if someone passes away, the last thing they want for you is to hurt. But it's okay to mourn the loss. It's okay to mourn all that stuff. But, you know, coming back out of it, you know, is something to be mindful of. Keeping yourself from letting those emotions overtake every aspect of your life, you know, where, you know, I can't go to work because I'm mourning my sister. I can't, you know, I can't write because I can't do my podcast. I can't do, you know, any of those things. And so I have to learn how to govern those passions and learn how to work through them, you know, and that's and it's a difficult process, but it's not a process that can't be achieved. So try to think about, you know, what would it's like with my sisters, like, what would my sisters tell me? Try to remember what they would tell you, you know, and try to remember that, you know, all of this emotion's not going to fix anything. It's not going to bring her back, you know. And loss of a loved one is a tough one. You know, it's not like losing a job where, you know, well, I was looking for a job when I found this one. Deuces, see ya. You know, it's not the same thing. So there are ways to practice self-care. There are ways to self-govern your passions. And my book gets into that pretty extensively. And if you need to, if you struggle to regulate all these emotions, maybe you fly off the handle way too easy. You know, maybe you say a lot of dumb shit, things that are hurtful, mean, spiteful, you know, then here's something that you may probably want to consider is getting some sort of professional help. You know, understand, here's the thing about stuff like that. In any sort of learning, okay, any learning, when you understand the root cause, the root source of something, all of a sudden that becomes so much easier to deal with because you get it. You understand what it is that's making you feel this way. So learning that from someone who has studied it extensively and all of these type of things, then a professional person, is absolutely something that you should do. You know, don't look at it from a stigma standpoint. Look at it from, I need to learn how to handle this shit. Because I'm telling you, when you learn how to govern your emotions, govern your passions, and know when it's appropriate to do A or B, I'm telling you, you will become that most powerful person in the room. And people will listen to you. Absolutely. How many times have you been watching somebody? You know, and I go back sometimes to, and if you're a young person, you probably won't even know who this is or even the history of it. But when Oliver North was testifying in the Iran-Contra hearings, and he was before Congress or the Senate or whatever, they were, I mean, trying to kick his ass. Whether you like him or don't, he stayed so cool under pressure that you could see, and how many times have you seen that where people that are questioning you and you are staying completely, totally cool will lose their shit because you're not biting their bait. They can't jerk the line and start trying to reel you in. Does that make sense? I hope so, because it should. And you need to think about it that way. Don't let somebody bait you. And seriously, how many times have you watched in a movie, a TV show, a hearing of some sort, where the person that's there that's being grilled is cool as a cucumber? Doesn't lose their shit, doesn't get emotional, and it just absolutely infuriates, pisses off, and does everything it can. You know, how many situations have you seen where people bait someone so they'll lose their shit? Don't be that. Don't grab the bait. And yes, it's easier said than done, absolutely. But that's why I wrote this book. That's why you go out and research and find things that help you. That's why you may need to seek out professional help. So, you know, just just realize that these are things that when you get to a point in your life where you can do this, I'm telling you, it's you're gonna be like, holy shit, this is pretty damn cool. So, you know, it changed my life, I can tell you that. And I'm not saying that, you know, people don't, you know, get mad or frustrated or angry, and, you know, but I can tell you this, it more often than not, my head will say, don't do that, than me spouting out something that I didn't really mean to say, you know. Because you can learn to ask questions that are more in line with de-escalating than it would, you know, you can learn these things. And I'm telling you, it's when you learn to de-escalate a situation and listen, you know, especially like if you're protesting something, you know, all I ever really see, which is sad, is people trying to stir up shit and get people to act on emotions instead of acting on fact, you know, or acting on, you know, you go out and you see, and I've talked about this a million times, you go out and see these just old people, you know, throw tomato soup on the Mona Lisa. How many of you can honestly say, without a doubt, that you would stop driving a gasoline-powered car because some chick threw tomato soup on the Mona Lisa? You don't just suddenly go, oh my God, she threw tomato soup on the Mona Lisa. I'm selling my gasoline cars today. Yeah, hi, can I talk to Elon Musk? I want to buy my Tesla right now. None of those things, and I'm not saying she doesn't have the right to do it. She absolutely does. You know, fortunately, all of those type of things are secured and covered. But it doesn't change my mind. In fact, it makes me really not even want to listen, because you get tired of that. Because, you know, you look at, because you can line up just as many people that say climate is not at risk as you can say climate is at risk. So who do you believe? Well, that's why you go out and you do your critical thinking and you believe what your heart says, not what mine says, not what the group of people you hang out says, you know? In my lifetime, I can't tell you how many, you know, all the computers were going to fail, Y2K, you know? Every computer, nobody could tell you whether, you know, that it would absolutely catastrophically end the world. You know how many billions of dollars were made on companies who were going to make you Y2K proof? You know, acid rain. We were all going to die of acid rain. There's a hole in the ozone. We're all going to get sucked into a black hole. None of these things occurred. None of these things happened. And now we're losing our shit over fossil fuels. And I, you know, whichever side of the fence you're on, could be argued both ways. So the reason that I'm saying this is that if you make a compelling argument to me, then maybe I'll lean more towards your way. Or at least I'll go in and, you know, and I think that really things like that, when you're regular Joe people, okay, people like you and I, all right, when you're regular Joe folks, all I can do is what I can do. I can, you know, drive my car as least amount of times, make all my errands in one day instead of breaking it out over several, you know, pick up my trash, recycle, go out on the highway and pick up trash. You know, when I'm at the beach, I always get a beach trash bag, and one for me and one for picking up the trash that's around me at the beach. You know, so I have one place to put my beer cans, you know, and my picnic trash. And then I have one where I go around and I try to pick up trash, diapers, all kinds of nasty shit that people leave on the beach so it doesn't wash back out into the Gulf. I make that a point to do that. So I do try to do my part. And my point to all this is that I don't listen to somebody super gluing their hand to the freeway and stopping good family, normal, everyday Joe people from going to work, who have to support their families, who have their own set of troubles in their life. You're penalizing the wrong people. Governments make the laws. Governments do the things. Go to, you know, go sit on the steps at one of the oil companies, for Christ's sake. But don't, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox about it, but I just have a hard time thinking that punishing, you know, everyday people for something that they didn't create or do, but it's, you know, I have to have my car to get to work. Okay, I have to have my car. I can't ride a bike. There, where I live, there's no public transportation. So I have to use my vehicle. Until you come up with a better solution, I don't have it. That's the whole thing that I don't understand is, you know, you look at guys like Elon Musk. He's trying and he's doing a damn good job. And when he talks about what it would take to put solar in, where he knows how to make solar that would cure it for the planet. So why are we not, instead of stopping people from going to work, or God forbid, stopping people who might be taking their pregnant wife to the hospital, or taking their kid who just fell at the playground and broke his arm, but he's 50 cars back because you got the damn and stuck because he can't get out. He's stuck in traffic because he's got cars on either side, front and back of him. And his kid's in the car with a broken arm, broken leg. Or maybe a cracked head, God forbid, because he fell on his bike. Instead, why don't we figure out ways to help Elon Musk bring his solar remedy to the world. Talk about that. Put it out there. Make people think about it. Talk about it. Try to get him to write more about it or talk more about it. Instead, we're more focused on this other bullshit that becomes tiresome. And that's why when you think about this from an emotional standpoint, as you could see in this, I really did this more for illustration purposes, although I do love him, and I do want a cleaner, you know, planet, sure. But you can see how emotionally you can get gone off into another direction that really wasn't even about what you're talking about. We're talking about my book, we're not talking about the climate change. My book has nothing to do with climate change. But you can see from that illustration how easy it is to emotionally let yourself get off track. Food for thought. So I hope that you will give some some thought to all of this and think about what you could do to bring a calm, cool, and collected you. How to embrace your emotions, not be where you're governed by your emotions. Your life is led out by your emotions, and when, you know, when you're emotional with people, whether it's crying, whether it's screaming at, yelling at, cursing at, there is a detachment when, you know, and it, when I talk about crying, where you're just whining, okay? Not where you have some emotional need. Now, there are certain emotional needs where, you know, you go to your mom because you had a breakup. You go to your dad because you need some, you don't know how to handle something with your wife or whatever. You know, you listen to your kids who going through their first heartbreak, or maybe a kid bullied them on the playground, whatever the case may be. There are certain times where emotions are okay. I'm not saying you have to learn how to not get emotion out of your life. What I'm suggesting to you is that you take the irrational emotions and don't let them govern your life. Don't let that be, you know, oh, don't invite them. God, they, you know, dude, remember when she flipped out at the, you know, wherever we were, or what, you know, or bitched the whole time, or he bitched the whole time, or, you know, and all of that is from emotion. Nobody wants to hear me bitch about everything on the planet on this podcast. I wouldn't have any followers, wouldn't have any listeners if I did that. So, yes, we do get emotional. Yes, or I say we. I do sometimes probably come off emotional about certain things. But I recognize that. And I do my very level best to try to not be or have an emotional outburst that makes me sound stupid or makes me where people don't want to listen to the show. Well, dude, if you want to hear somebody bitch all the time, well, tune into this guy. No, nobody wants to listen to that. But I would hazard to say that there are many of you who are listening now, or who may even listen now and suggest, hey man, you ought to listen to this podcast, and I hope you do, thank you. But on how to recognize that, how to overcome it, how to not be that person. So, you know, because our lives evolve, our lives change. And this is a part of the way that I've evolved my life into what it is today. Is it completely perfect? No. Do I have emotional times? Yes. But they're fewer and farther between, and I'm making more progress each and every day than I did the day before. If I can say today, I did more today than I did yesterday as far as things that affect me, that's a good day. It's a damn good day. So, you know, be kind to yourself. All right. My new book is called Mastering Your Emotions, The Ultimate Guide. Okay. And you can, hang on, just two shakes. I meant to do something else before I let you out of school. It's The Ultimate Guide for Regulating Your Feelings and Becoming the Most Powerful Person in Any Room. I'm telling you now, the most powerful person in the room is the guy who can completely hold, the guy or gal who can completely maintain their shit. When everything, you're going, why don't they just, you know, I'd punch that son of a bitch. No, no. Be the person that everyone maybe in the room is pissed because you won't do that. Don't succumb to your emotions in a situation where, you know, you can make a difference. You can get people to see things your way because, you know, you're not screaming at it, or your argument's not fuck you. Because the F-bomb seems to be the biggest thing in the deal. So the book covers Unlocking the Power of Emotional Mastery, which is part one of the book. Chapter one is The Science of Emotions. Chapter two, The Importance of Emotional Regulation. Identifying Your Emotional Triggers, The Power of Self-Awareness. Part two of the book is Strategies for Regulating Your Emotions, Reframing Your Thoughts, Mindfulness, Effective Communication, The Power of Self-Care, Building Resilience and Adaptability, and Seeking Professional Support. We talked about that. And Applying Emotional Regulation in Various Contexts, Relationships, Workplace, Parents, Caregivers, Mental Health, Physical Health, you know, and in conclusion, Mastering Your Emotions for a More Powerful, Fulfilling Life. And I even included a bonus section, Getting Started on Your Emotional Mastery Journey Today. All of my books, as all of you know, there is a call to action in every single one of them. Okay. Something that I can tell you that has served me well is there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. You start today. Well, you know, we'll look at this, you know, next week, or will it? No. We'll look at it now. And we'll look at it in a way that even if it's just a very tiny step today, you know, I always tell people that, you know, well, you know, I'm thinking about starting a company. Okay, what have you done? Well, I'm thinking about it. Okay, well, in thinking about it, maybe you could write down in some detail what you want to do. Take money, time, and knowledge out of the equation. And if you could do anything you wanted to do with no obstacles or hurdles in your immediate future, what would you do? And start writing. Same thing as if you want to get in a relationship, get out of a relationship. You know, if you're in a toxic relationship and you finally see there is no way out, and let's say, you know, you're a single parent that has children that hasn't worked in 15 or 20 years, what are you going to do? Well, start framing it out. You know, start seeing what the hell, you know, start framing it out. Start working it out. What did you do before? What was your life's passion before you got married and before you had children? What did you want to do? Where did you see your professional life, and work on it? Lots of resources out there to help people, you know. So don't let your emotions stop you from doing what you need to do. Because you can get real angry and real upset and real crazy about things and sit there and go, you know, oh God, I'm never going to be able to do nothing. I can't do that, you know. I'm just stuck here, you know. I'm just stuck in this horrid place and you know. And I'm telling you, it may take some work, but no, you're not. There may not be an immediate, see it right in front of your face solution. You may have to start taking baby steps. You know, maybe you don't want to take you and your kids to a shelter because you're in some horrid toxic relationship. Well, go talk to them and ask them, what are resources where I could get out on my own? They being one, but maybe they can say, you know, you guys have any lines on a job? Do you have any, you know, how can I get a car? How can I get legal help? But take some action. Don't let the emotion of the situation overtake you so that you can't act. I hope that makes sense. All right. So mastering your emotions is currently in what is called the publishing process on Amazon, and we are welcoming our newest partner where we are publishing, where I just started publishing my books to. It's called Kobo, K-O-B-O. And if you are familiar with Rakuten, I think is how they say it. I think probably if you're on any kind of social media, you've probably seen that. But they have a huge book shop, and I have one that we published, and I have two that are in progress that are available through Amazon, but they're also going to be available through Kobo. I'm excited about being there, and so it's I think it'll be a pretty cool place to find my books. So if you're a Rakuten lover, then you probably already know that they have a bookstore, so we'll be available there. This book probably will be available in Amazon another hour, and it should be all loaded up. And when it goes into what is called publishing, that means that it's going onto their system. It's just not quite live, but it will be. That means at any given moment, it's going to be live. So I hope that you'll consider buying it. It's at some length, and it's full of really, really, really good stuff. So have a very unemotional day and take care of yourselves. And like always, you can in our bio, as they say, there is a link that takes you to my Linktree. Linktree will get you to, it is basically the landing page for all of the pages of Flight Risk Studios and myself, and our YouTube pages, our Rumble pages. We have our Etsy shop where you can buy really cool merch. It's not always, and it's not, I think you would like it. There's lots of cool stuff there. Some funny t-shirts, some just, interesting merch and stuff. So I love it. It's a fun thing for me to do when I just kind of need a little emotional unplug. So I enjoy making those things. I don't know why I do so much, but I do. And anyway, but that's where you can get to my Amazon author page. It's very clear on there. You can see my blog. I post on my blogs every day. We post news articles every day. Normally they're history. They're not so much current events as they are. We talk about different things from a historical standpoint. So a lot like a news, I, for lack of a better word, it's a news magazine. So anyway, check it all out, and I appreciate it. And this is Flight Risk Podcast Studios, and this is Robert Bruton. Bye for now.